Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, this is God's word. "I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come.' Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine.' When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, 'How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?' Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. When we read about these things happening, we are reading about dreadful things happening. And most believers throughout most of church history have experienced much more of this kind of thing than we do. We should not assume that we're the norm and they're the exception. Nor should we assume that it's never going to hit us. we're going to be fine. We will not have to go through war. We will not have to go through plague. When those things hit, the obvious question on many people's mind is, who's in control? And this passage answers that without any equivocation. It is absolutely clear who's in control. The message this morning is titled, Who's in Control? Who is in control? I want to remind you of where this scene takes place. John has been taken into the throne room of God. And the first thing he sees that is right at the center of everything is the fact that God is on the throne. But then he sees that the Lamb is on the throne. This is foreshadowed in the letters to the churches where Jesus says to him who overcomes, I'll grant for him to sit with me upon my throne, even as the Father has granted for me to sit with him upon his throne. This is shared authority. But John sees the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered, who is victorious, and he is seen as a lamb that has been slain. Our Lord Jesus, who overcame everything through the cross. That's the way it was done. Why is it then that we think there ought to be another way for us? You know, I mean, Jesus did it with the cross, but I was thinking a really good PR campaign. I think there's got to be another way other than the cross. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, it's going to involve a cross. You're going to have to die daily to self. You're going to have to love me more than life. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. That is an absolute declarative. Do you understand that? God guarantees that you will lose your life if you try and save it. But he also guarantees something else. And that is, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you will yield everything to him, you will find life. God says so.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, in this passage, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. What happens here was bidden. It didn't happen accidentally. It was a voice that said, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This is warfare. This is the world experiencing the bitter fruit of those who want to rule others. Their goal is not to engage everyone everywhere with the gospel. Their goal is to conquer. But what follows when the second seal is opened is a fiery red horse, also bidden, come. All four, the word come is used. Come, come, come. And the red horse is not just warfare. It's violence everywhere that destroys peace, that removes peace from the earth. And there's violence, bloodshed. But then the black horse comes. Look at the black horse. Verse 5. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Why would we say that that's famine? Well, because of some of the other things that are going to be told us in the book of Revelation. But it's not just famine. It's famine because of injustice. Why are people starving to death around the world today? Is it because we don't have enough food? No, there's plenty of food. It is the exploitation of people by withholding from them goods at a fair price. There are governments that receive our aid and turn around and make sure it does not get to the people for whom we sent it. This is not a new problem. And let me tell you, it's not going to be solved politically. All of these are a manifestation of people suffering as a result of sin. So it's really the poor people's fault? No, it is the fault of sinful people who have messed everything up. Well, in the midst of this display of the black horse, it's interesting. The first rider held a bow. The second rider has a large sword. The third rider has a pair of scales in his hand. That's how we do business. It's a pair of scales. Because he's saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. This is a picture of the horrible pain and injustice that can be caused when people don't do business God's way. Okay? But then there's another horse that comes. The pale horse. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, verse 7, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. What a picture. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Picture, if you will, the worst ills on the planet currently suddenly unleashed. Stuff that has been a problem here and here and here, now everywhere globally. A fourth of the earth killed by sword, famine, and plague. If 25% of the people on the earth were destroyed by sword, famine, plague, and the wild beasts of the earth, we may think, well, I just hope it's those people over there. Okay? As long as it's them, we're okay. Now let me tell you, if a fourth of the earth was killed, it would impact everybody on the earth. It would impact everybody on the earth. And that's what's described here. But then there's something else. When the fifth seal is opened, it's not a horse. It's martyrdom. It's persecution and martyrdom of believers. And the believers who've already been martyred cry out and say, "How long, O Lord? When are you going to do something, God? When are you going to stop this?" They're asking the same question. Who's in control? They know God's in control. But it's like, then why are you letting this happen? Why don't you do something? And God's response is to robe them in white and tell them, I'm not done yet. You and I need to understand this verse. Verse 11. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. Until the number was completed. God has ordained certain people who are his dearly loved children and his shining witnesses in the earth to die a martyr's death. That's what God says. We say, surely not. Just like Peter, who heard Jesus saying that he was on his way to the cross and said, surely not, Lord. To which Jesus replied, get thee behind me, Satan. Let me tell you something. God has ordained that some of his people would die a martyr's death. And Jesus is not going to put a stop to it until the full number that he has ordained for martyrdom lose their lives to martyrdom. But hear me. I already said it, but I want to say it again because Jesus said it. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. So, the fifth seal is persecution and martyrdom. And then the sixth seal, verse 12. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. The stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. This is some sort of devastation on the earth that causes absolutely bizarre things in the sky. The darkening of the sun, the moon turning blood red. But what is this stuff falling from the sky? Are we to believe that literally the stars way out there in space come crashing to the earth? There's a problem with that because if one of those got really close to the earth, we would kind of all be burned up. You know? I mean, in other words, here's the earth. And here are what we call stars. They're too big for a bunch of them to bombard us. But we know that the word is true. So what can this be? Well, what else do we, not in our now modern technological terminology, scientifically educated people that we are, but what historically do people on the planet refer to as a falling star? What? Yeah, meteors. When you see them in the sky, it looks like a star falling, doesn't it? And when they hit the earth, it's a meteorite. And how's that work for you? Okay? And so you have the response, this is going to be a global event. You have the response, verse 15 and following. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, and every free man. That's everybody, folks. The response of humanity is that they hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called on the Lord and said, have mercy on us, we have sinned. Is that what it says? They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Let me tell you something, folks. This happens repeatedly in the book of Revelation. When God's wrath is being poured out, people don't repent. They are still treating the creation, the rocks, the hills, as if that's something we can pray to. The problem with the human heart in its unregenerate condition is we worship created things rather than the Creator. Read Romans 1. Our problem is we treat as of supreme importance, value, and power things that are created. It's the Creator who's in control. And these people know that. They know it. It's not ignorance. It is rebellion. It is satanic rebellion. Look at it. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from whatever's going on." No, from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Folks, this will be a time when there is no shortage of knowledge. People are going to know God's the one in control. And still, the response is to try and run from him instead of to him. You go all the way back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned and suddenly were filled with shame and remorse, and they heard the sound of God walking in the garden, they didn't run and say, "Oh God, have mercy on us. We have disobeyed you." They ran from him. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells us this is the judgment. The light is coming to the world, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. The problem is not that we don't know what's right and what's wrong. The problem is we don't like what's right. We like what's wrong. That's what's wrong. And so what's going on here, as astounding as it seems, as awful as it seems, as stupid as it seems, is simply a description of the unregenerate human heart on display. This is our natural state. This is how we roll. I want you to see, it's the wrath of the Lamb. It's the wrath of the Lamb. If your view of Jesus doesn't include his wrath, you don't know Jesus. You're bowing down before the creation of your own mind. When you study the Scriptures, let Jesus speak for himself. He describes the one who goes away to be made king. And while he's gone, his servants rebel against him and send a message saying, "We don't want him to rule over us." And Jesus says he was made king, however, and he returned. Let me tell you something about the one who's been made king. He is returning. He is coming again. And Jesus says when he comes again, he's going to demand an accounting from his servants. And then those who did not want him to rule over them, he will destroy. And we're talking slaughter. Where is their safety? Only in the Lamb. Only in Jesus. He bore the wrath of God for us. But if you would receive him, you must receive him not only as the gracious one who gave his life for you, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you will bow before him and worship him forever and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.